from KQED.
And welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and for the rest of this hour, we're joined by one of the leading candidates for Barbara Boxer's U.S. Senate seat. Orange County Democrat Loretta Sanchez was elected to Congress in 1996, knocking off longtime Republican Representative Bob Dornan. Some knew him as B1 Bob. Her district includes Anaheim, Santa Ana, and Garden Grove. Representative Sanchez serves on the House Armed Services and Homeland Security Committees, among others. Loretta Sanchez, welcome to Forum.
Hello.
Hello there. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be on with you. Thank you so much for asking.
You bet. I want to begin by asking you about something that's very much in the news right now, and it's the Egypt Air crash, killing 66 on board Wednesday. There are reports now that some of the wreckage and debris have been found in the Mediterranean. And I'm wondering, as someone steeped in national security and military issues, what questions do you have? What are you asking about this incident?
Well, the first one would be, how did that plane come apart? And it will be a while as we get the analysis from the pieces we recover to see. Most believe it was probably some type of a bomb. So first we have to say, well, what really happened? We can also analyze. We have some pretty good information. I saw some of it yesterday with respect to the pattern on the radar. But first, what really did happen? Two, how was that able to get on? This is a plane that had traveled to a couple other countries in the Middle East that same day or right before. And so we'll go back and the investigators, and I do believe there'll be some American investigators on that with all the forensics to take a look at how something might have been put on there. So it's always an issue of with respect to terrorism. They're insurgents. In other words, they wait to see the opportune time to find the underbelly or the break in the armor for them to attack us meaning the world that works together, and they take their time to do that, and then we tend to react to that because we cannot catch every single little thing that's going to happen in this world. It's just the resources aren't there to do it. So we have to ask the questions of what do we take from that and generalize it with respect to aviation, for example, for the rest of those of us who travel by plane.
Yeah. You are running for the U.S. Senate. You've been in the Congress for 20 years. And I'm wondering, this is sort of the year of the outsider, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, and you're running on your experience in Congress. And I'm wondering, given the low regard people have for Congress in general, why is that an asset to you? Why do you think that helps in your campaign, and why would it make you a better senator?
Well, first of all, remember that I have always been the outsider. When I first ran 20 years ago against Bob Dornan over here in Orange County, California, a very Republican place, had never seen a woman, had never seen a Hispanic. I'm a Democrat out here. And even the Democratic Party didn't endorse me because they didn't believe I could win. And Emily's List didn't help. And all these traditional people who somehow are supposed to help Democratic women, pro-choice women, et cetera, get through didn't help me. And yet we did it. And in the same way this year, we're the same way. I mean, we are the outside. The insiders decided at the very get-go who their candidate was going to be. And all of those establishment types have worked feverishly to keep everybody out of this race. And guess what? I got in, and we're doing well, and we're going to win this race. So I am the outsider. And if you look at the polling, you'll see that that's what people believe.
You are better known, of course, in Southern California. That's where you're from. And I just want to get a little bit of your biography. I think you're one of seven kids. Your parents, if I'm not mistaken, were both Mexican immigrants. Your dad was a machinist. Your mom was a secretary. Going way back, what kind of kid were you?
Well, I was the number two in line of seven in a Mexican-American family, so that makes me kind of the surrogate mom. I was the bossy one, the one that had to make sure when mom was getting all the kids ready for church on Sundays, that I would ensure that as we got ready that the little ones wouldn't go out and play in the mud before we got to church, right, so that all of us would show up clean and pristine as it was supposed to be. And so, you know, my sister definitely will tell you that my sister, the other congresswoman,
Linda Sanchez from Los Angeles.
Yes, yeah. Linda Sanchez, that I am definitely, you know, the mom. One time I walked into the House floor, and she was talking to a colleague. We were taking votes, and I was sort of, you know, waiting around, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Yes, you know, what do you need?" And I said, have you gotten your flu shot yet? So
always the mother.
Definitely always the mother.
Yeah. We're talking to Orange County Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez. This is a half-hour segment, and I'm going to open up the phone lines now if you'd like to ask her a question. 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also email us. It's forum@kqed.org. What would you say, Congresswoman, what are you most passionate about? What would be the first thing you would do if you got to the U.S. Senate?
Comprehensive immigration reform. It is the moral imperative of our nation, of our time. We have got to get that done. And the reason is threefold. One, it's about family values. If we really say that we care about family, then deporting these mothers, and that's usually what is happening in these families, is just completely incorrect. I mean, you know, moms are the nucleus of the family for the most part. You know, there's some exceptions to that, of course, but pretty much we do our country a disservice as we do not handle this from a family values perspective, from a homeland security perspective. We are a sovereign country. We get to choose who comes in and out, and we need to do that. And third, it's an economic issue, especially here in California. There is no doubt in anybody's mind that we that our economy is favored because of immigration into the United States. So that would be, you know, that's number one. It's time to get it done.
Why would you? I mean, it's been tried for so many years now, and it's failed. Why would you, especially if Republicans remain in control, why would you be able to get it done?
Well, first of all, I work very well with Republicans, and that's one of the reasons why the majority of my California Democrats have endorsed me. They know that I not only have the demeanor to work and to get people to the table, that I shape the debate, that I know where the swing votes are, that I've worked this issue, that we're very close. We're very close to getting this done, and I think the American people just have to decide once and for all, let's get this done. It's about our future and our security and our economic well-being and about our families, and let's do it. And I think having a voice that every day would say, guys, let's get to the table and let's get this done is incredibly important.
I want to ask you about a word you just used. You said demeanor. You said you have the demeanor to be a U.S. senator. And, you know, stylistically, I think your supporters would say that you're less scripted. You're maybe more authentic. At the same time, your critics would say, you know, you've got kind of a shoot from the hip kind of a style, that you say things that sometimes you have to walk back. And I'm wondering, you know, which is the real Loretta Sanchez, and why would someone who is a little more spontaneous, shall we say, be good in the U.S. Senate, which is such a, you know, an august, serious kind of a place?
Well, first of all, you're talking to probably the Democrats' expert on nuclear armament, national missile defense, weaponization of space, etc. So I work on serious issues all day long. And my colleagues know that. When they come to me and they ask me about the Iran deal, when they come to me and they ask me about what's really going on with North Korea, they know that I'm going to sit down with them, I'm going to walk them through, I'm going to explain to them the realities of the world and how we work on this. So, you know, that's why my colleagues are saying, you know what, she is a serious legislator. She is tough. You know, I'm tough on the Pentagon, and I've sat for 20 years on the Armed Services Committee, and I have called them on the rug when they have gone in the wrong direction or where they are playing smoke and mirrors on money or projects or delivering a system or hurting our troops or not getting onto the policies that we need, and I'm dogged about it. And so, you know, my daddy taught me a long time ago, if you just tell the truth, and you just sit down and you are firm with people and you tell them where you are coming from, they're going to respect you for that, and you're not going to have to remember what you said to one group versus the other group. And so, you know, the fact that I am, you know, straightforward and talk to people and listen to people, I think my colleagues, their endorsements reflect that.
All right, let's go to our listeners now. John in San Francisco, welcome.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. My question is to Congresswoman Sanchez is that under the top two primary system, she will no doubt be facing Attorney General Harris in the November election. And my question for her is she's in a little bit better position to inherit at least several million registered Republican voters. And what is she going to offer them in order to gain their support?
It's a great question. I should say, let's not rush things. There is a June 7th primary, and there are three Republican top Republicans running who all hope they'll be in the runoff. Yes, the polls do show you in second, Loretta Sanchez. So how would you appeal? Why would a Republican vote for you?
Well, first thing, remember that I have a 100% voting record on choice. I have a 100% voting record on LGBT issues. I am known as a human rights fighter. So, you know, just on the side of a known record on Democratic issues, I am a Democrat. But I have been a Democrat that has represented Republican Orange County. There are usually six seats in the House from Orange County. Five of them are Republican and one is a Democrat, and that's been the history here for about 20 years in Orange County. And yet, my Republican colleagues will tell you that we work on issues together. For example, for all of this water and drought issue and everything going on in California, 19 years ago when I got into the U.S. Senate, the first program that I championed was to build a recycling plant here in Orange County that recycles all of our water, everything from factory to from commercial use, from our homes, goes into factory, gets cleaned up to pristine water, gets put into our water table, and we recycle. 90% of the water that we use here is actually our own water recycled over and over. We can do this up and down the state of California. I have done this by cobbling together the financing at the local, the state, and the federal level, bringing back the monies from the Fed to get that done. We have insulated ourselves in a way here in Orange County, but this can be done up and down the state of California. So, and I had to do that by working with Republicans. The water boards and the cities are all filled with Republicans, so I know how to work with them to get the practical issues of today done.
All right, John, thanks very much for the call. He alluded to Kamala Harris, the attorney general, who is running first in all the polls, although stuck at around 27-30%, I would say. But how do you you're both Democrats. You just said you have a great track record on Democratic issues. She has won the state party endorsement. But how would you say that you and Kamala Harris are different on the issues?
Well, again, she's the insider. She's the ultimate insider, and I think that's
But how does that relate to the issues?
People who are voting are coming to vote for us instead. So she's winning on the insider polls, but we're winning on the, you know, people who understand you need to send somebody to the Senate who has the experience to be in that Senate. On day one, I walk in there. I know the generals. I know the admirals. I know the world leaders. I've met with them about conflicts, about what we're going to do about counterterrorism. She has no knowledge of that.
But give me an example of an issue where you think you'd be different. You'd vote differently, or you'd come at the issue differently than Kamala Harris would.
Well, for example, water. She has said that she will be greener than she has said that she will not look at issues that will solve our water problem for California. I just told you what I did 19 years ago here for Orange County. I come at it like, everybody, let's get to the table. She's not gone. I've taken tours of potential dams. I've taken tours of the Central Valley. I've gone to Santa Clara. I've gone to the Bay Area. I've talked to the water districts there. I have talked to the Metropolitan Water District in Los Angeles. I know my own water down here. I have gone over to see the Salton Sea. So all the issues of water, I've actually taken the time already to do the homework, to see what's behind there, to craft together a policy. Her only policy so far is we just need to conserve. That is not a realistic policy for the future of California's economy. We must get to the table and we must agree on issues of water conveyance, of water supply for all of California.
When you think about the political spectrum, you know, on the left, very liberal, on the right, very conservative, where would you put yourself? Are you a liberal? Are you a moderate?
I am socially liberal, and I am fiscally conservative. I look at every project because I know that if we fund something, we may be putting something else off or may not be doing something else we may need. So my question is always, you know, what's it really going to cost us? How can we work together to bring the cost down on that project so that we can get as many things done as possible that we need to get done? It's, you know, it's always about where you put your priorities. I would always invest in educating our people, and that's not just a four-year university. That is our community colleges. That is our vocational schools, our apprenticeships. I don't know about you all, but down here we've got a real need for bricklayers and mason and carpenters, and you know, so I mean, we need everybody in this economy, and so educating health. That is one of the reasons why I voted for the Obamacare Affordable Care Act, was to provide access and affordability of health care to people.
So would you say that you're, you know, when I, on that political spectrum question, would you say that you're, you know, a tick or two to the middle from Kamala Harris?
I'm definitely on how we're going to pay for things and how we're going to prioritize things. I've certainly, if you can look at my record, I've certainly been the one to ask the question. So she has never seen a program she has not liked to spend money on, especially if it's other people's money. So, I mean, I think I definitely am on the other side of her on that.
That's Loretta Sanchez, Orange County Congresswoman, Democrat running for the U.S. Senate. If you want to ask a question, give us a call. It's 866-733-6786. And let's go now to your part of the state, more or less. San Bernardino, Ali is on the line. Welcome.
Hi, I'm a senior in college, so obviously the issues of education affordability and student loans are very important to me. And I was wondering, if you're our next U.S. senator, how are you going to make education more affordable, and what will you do for those of us that are very much saddled with student loans right now?
Certainly, that's a great issue. I just said that one of the investments I have continuously made is in education. Remember, I'm a Head Start child, a public school kid, someone who went to college on a Pell Grant. That's a federal scholarship, on a Cal Grant A, that's a state scholarship, and a student loan, and a labor scholarship, and my MBA was paid for by the Rotary Club of Anaheim. So, and I worked, by the way, I worked my way also through all my college. So I believe that it takes, you know, everybody putting something in order to educate our people, our workforce. So one, I actually am the author of the Pell Grant bill that would increase the Pell Grant amount. Two, I am the author of the bill that would allow you to use the Pell Grant during summer session, which is not allowed right now. So when students are trying to get classes so that they can finish earlier or at least finish on time in 4 years, they're not able to finance that during the summer. That doesn't cost us anything more. It just is a bill that I believe that we're going to get passed so they can use it for the summer session. I'm one of those people who believes that community college should be more affordable. When I went, it was $5 a unit, so free $5. I mean, we need to do that. And I know so many places in the budget where we could take the money and we could use it to do that for our students. I am the one who pushed, and at the state level, we now changed the rule so that somebody like a Santa Ana Community College, a community college in my area, now has, I think it's 6 or 8 degrees that are 4-year degrees. So there are some degrees at some of our community colleges that are now offered that allow you to pay the lower per unit cost, and you can get the 4-year degree there. And of course, on student loans, I'm working with the administration to try to get people to put in a refinance program. If your parents can refinance their home mortgage into these lower interest rates, then there should be an ability for our students who took out loans at 8 and 12 and 16% and 5% to refinance at the lower rate of between 3 and 6%. Yeah. So all of those are issues that I'm actually working on right now that I would continue as a senator.
All right, Ali, thanks very much. You mentioned that you're you know, more of a fiscal conservative, and I'm wondering, you know, if you are in the runoff in November against Kamala Harris, you're going to probably try to appeal to voters in the Central Valley. And I'm wondering, how do you feel about high-speed rail? Do you support high-speed rail? And if would you vote for funding for it in the Senate?
I have supported high-speed rail. I have voted for funding. When other states said, "Oh, we're not going to go," I told the president, "Okay, move that money over to California." Remember what the shape of California is like. It's long. It's long, right? It's a perfect place to put in a backbone of rail. I also know the problems that we are having in the skies, the current problems, the times that we are having in the TSA, issues of terrorism and longer lines there. I also know, all the issues that are coming up and we're trying to work through with respect to drones in the sky, et cetera. So having this backbone of a fast train, which every industrial nation has as a backbone, it's time to do it. Every project has its time.
Yeah.
We are made well for that in the way that California is laid out, but it's like any other project.
So you said you have supported it. I'm assuming you will
continue. Yes, I have.
You're saying you'll continue to fund.
Yes, yeah. we need to bring the plan it with a real steely eye of what the cost is. And it's like any other project, Scott. Somebody says, now I need your land because the train's going through here. And land that was $1,000 an acre, all of a sudden, you decide as a landowner is worth $30,000 an acre. So, people are saying, but the cost keeps going up. Well, the cost keeps going up because, all the way along the line, people are getting greedier about this. But we need to get this done. We need to get this done, and we will get it done. And Californians, their intent, when they voted to tax themselves with bonds to build part of this from a state level, their intent was we need to get a backbone rail line up and down the state of California. We know it makes sense when you look at the map. Now it's like any other project. It's all about getting people, getting the local monies, getting the state monies, getting the federal monies, getting the user fee monies, and figuring out how to finance it. Oh, and before I got to the Congress for 12 years, that's what I did. I financed infrastructure projects.
All right. Let me just tell people we are in a fundraising period for KQED. And for more information on how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Scott Schaefer. And we continue our conversation with Loretta Sanchez, the Orange County Democrat running for the U.S. Senate. And we've got some social media comments as well. Ben asks, where does Loretta Sanchez stand on encryption backdoors for tech companies?
If he's referring to, example, something like the issue that went between the FBI and the Apple, and Apple recently, I was on the side of Apple and saying they had every right to push back at the federal government. Most everything of the Fourth Amendment that we have with respect to this area is about somebody who has already got a product. Let's say it's your home and you've already got a key for that, and so you go through the FBI goes through the court system and says you need to give us that key to open up your home because we need to search it. This is a totally new area. It is, you've got a home and it's all locked up and you don't have a key to get in there. Now I want you to make a key, Apple, to let me into the home. And by making a key, you make that home susceptible to others like hackers. You make that susceptible to the Chinese government, who now wants information on human rights activists, etc. That is not a place for the court system to be deciding on a very narrow case. That is a place for Congress to get involved, to look at the policy implications, because we have the budget and the staff and the ability to call people, experts in, and to take a look at it overall. And so my stance was, good for you, Apple, push back. And secondly, let's get this decided in the Congress.
All right. Let me ask you a question about the presidential race. It's very much overshadowed the Senate race in California. We've got a very hot contest still in the Democratic race between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Which Democrat are you supporting?
Well, I have supported both of them over my time in the Congress. They're both good friends. Hillary I supported in 2008. Bernie I just had in my own home about 3 years ago for a fundraiser for his Vermont Senate race here in Orange County. So what I have been so pleasantly surprised at is the level and the caliber of discussion and debate that having these two candidates talk about the issues and really get substantive about them has, I think, have been the best debates I've seen in my lifetime with respect to the president.
Who are you going to vote for?
Contrast that against Trump, and you know that that we have two great candidates, and they're certainly sprinting towards the end. And
who are you going to vote for, though? Are you going to endorse one of them?
Californians are getting excited.
Well,
I haven't endorsed either one of them.
Why?
I'm running my own race. I'm running my own race. I've put in calls to both of them, by the way, but they're running their own races too. So,
well, you can't vote for both of them.
We've all been a little bit busy. Well, that's why it's so nice that our ballot is who you vote for is not known to the world, right?
But you don't think voters would want to know? Don't you think voters would want to know who are they electing to the next to the Senate?
No, I think voters. I can work with either one of them, and both of them will tell you that. I think voters, are look if they're smart, and I always tell people voters are smarter than anybody gives them credit for. They're going to take a look at these two candidates in the next 2 weeks, and they'll come up with their decision.
Do you think that Bernie Sanders needs to dial it back in terms of his criticism?
Yes I do. I honestly do.
And where do you think he needs to do that, or how?
I think he just needs to, this is a democratic process, and we don't need name-calling. We don't need screaming. We don't need, the hollering out at people. I saw the clip on television of Barbara Boxer at the Nevada campaign being drowned out. I would just say to voters, guys, come on. This is a democratic process. Everybody gets their say. Be respectful about this. Go to the ballot box. Place your vote the way you're going to place it. Talk to your friends.
Yeah.
Don't scream at your friends.
We're short on time. Quick question about a ballot measure, the one to legalize recreational marijuana in California. You support that?
Well,
we're short on time.
Scott, I was probably 4 or 5 years ahead on the medical marijuana support before it even got voted in by the
what about recreational? We're short on time, Congresswoman.
By the electorate. I've been working very hard to regulate that industry.
Do you support the ballot measure?
Up there and other places. And I'm not going to tell you how you're personally going to vote for it, but I would be more inclined to vote for it.
All right. Loretta Sanchez, Orange County Democrat running for the U.S. Senate. Thanks so much. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irina Gucci, Tina Lauerberg, Susan Britton, and Penny Nelson. Our engineer, Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer, Amanda Stupai. Dan Zoll, our senior editor, executive producer, Joanne Wallace. I'm Scott Schaefer.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.